Okay, hi friends, and here we are again, and going on to program 58. I just have to get this all, you know, set up, and hopefully everything is in order. Yes, it's my hope. Come on now, there we go. That all is in order. Okay. And let's see if I can find what connects us here. I'm sorry not to be exactly ready. Here it is. Okay. A few seconds, you know, and there's the disappearing act in front of that marvelous planet, the Earth, I believe. Okay. So. All right. So our last program ended with a number of questions. And DK told us about the difficulties that the Earth finds itself in, that humanity finds itself in, and all the abuses. And then he asks, is this the atmosphere in which the Christ and his disciples can breathe? And is this the atmosphere, is this a condition in which they can find harmonious influences? Is this a state of affairs in which they can work and live? Obviously, you know, it suggests that the answer is no. Are the vibrations extant upon this planet similar to theirs and to which they can respond? We know that it is not so, and that much must be done to facilitate their work. What then can we do? Okay. And then we go on to number 58. And this will be direct information to us about what can we do. Okay. Many little things to get ready here. But my hope is that before too long, this last 200 pages or so in the book will be completed. And then we'll be able to go on to yet another book, perhaps Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, perhaps Letters on Occult Meditation, perhaps two books with which I am very familiar, Esoteric Psychology 1 and 2, Esoteric Astrology is done, the Rays and the Initiations are done, and maybe I should have more humility than to attempt anything in Esoteric Healing. Although surprisingly, in that book, it's a lot more than about healing, and so much information is there that sheds light on the other books. What is it that you all can do? Basically, it's saying here, well, first, teach the law of evolution and its inevitable corollary, perfected men, perfected human beings. Men must be taught that such great souls exist and exist entirely to serve their fellow men. It reminds me of Master Moria. Must we shout it in your ears, he says? Hierarchy. This is so direct, isn't it? The public must be familiarized with their names and attributes, with their work and purpose, which he's been doing for us all along. And the men must be told that they are coming forth for the salvation of the world. So the law of rebirth will be naturally part of this process. And it's really too bad that humanity does not accept the most encouraging doctrine of reincarnation, not metempsychosis, where you're likely to become some kind of animal or a bug or, you know, absurd. But although I think that if one allows oneself to degenerate, one can enter an animalistic stage, which is a great tragedy and a huge delay. All right. So secondly, well, the law of evolution and its inevitable corollary perfected human beings and the existence of the masters, the Christ's great church, the church triumphant and universal. Some people have adopted that kind of language, but made a mockery of it, you know. The church triumphant and universal is really triumphant through mastership and universal through the ongoing realization, the all-inclusive realization of the oneness of all life upon our planet. Secondly, we're on page 516 now. Oh, this is what happens when you yeah, 510 to 516. We're beginning here and get that 501. Okay. Secondly, disciples and aspirants must on every hand live harmoniously and love. Yeah. This is so true, and, you know, even among disciples, and I'll certainly admit to it, you know, there have been many inharmonious and unloving moments. It's not easy to fulfill what Master DK talks about here. Okay. So, just trying to get this correct. And when I can, put it in blue, although sometimes the blue is just too, just too dark. The violent vibrations of our surroundings must be stilled. The noiselessness of the coming era will be part of that. And the statement, be still and know that I am God, which is so applicable to the third ray type and to the third ray personality of this particular planet. The violent vibrations of our surroundings must be stilled by a strong counter vibration of love, remembering ever that as we work on the side of evolution, the power of the Godhead itself is with us. I think we're talking about, you know, Sanat Kumara, the planetary logos, with us available for use. Naught can withstand the steady pressure of love and harmony when they are applied long enough. It is not spasmodic efforts that count. It is the long sustained, unvarying pressure which eventually breaks down opposition and the walls of separation. Well, we're told that the second ray of love works without let up and leeway, which is interesting. You know, the first ray is more involved with the crashing through the barriers, but not the second ray. A steady and constant pressure until victory is achieved. So just look up those two words in your Alice Bailey CD-ROM, let up leeway, and you'll find the quotation. It's a steady pressure and a great will is involved. So the stillness must come eventually. And the lack of stillness, of course, represented by the green and the third ray, but they have to learn the stillness of the mill pond, says Master DK, and not quite the same as the stillness at the eye of the hurricane. That's more for the second ray type. So many things to know as we together tread the path of evolution, especially in its higher presentation. And we should be approaching that. You know, I one day calculated that, you know, over 99% of the lives to be lived are lived by the time you reach the first initiation. And it was a higher number than 99%, at least in my calculations. Thirdly, esoteric organizations must stand for all that tends towards unity. All types of work, all the exterior efforts of the many organizations must meet with loving cooperation and assistance. They all do aspect each other. They really do. And they're meant to be mutually supportive. We stand in a world of endeavor as focal points for love. We, the hierarchy, does stand that way, and we, potential members of the new group of world servers, at least, must stand in that way. Our objective is the helping of the great ones and the rendering to them of that intelligent assistance which will make their plans for humanity materialize. And DK identifies with us in this. But for him, one that is truly a great one is of a much higher caliber than what for us is a great one. For us, every master of the wisdom is a great one. For Master DK, the masters of the wisdom are brothers and co-workers, and the great ones are such as the Christ and the Buddha and the Avatar of Synthesis and the Spirit of Peace. Those are the great ones for the masters. And, you know, on it goes. The great ones for our planetary logos, the solar logos, and on with the solar logos, it would be the cosmic logos, and on, until the one great one in any universe is discovered, and we find revealed to us that we are that one. Which sounds preposterous to many because we have our apparent limitations, but if you look at it closely enough, and you follow what I've been calling emanative retraction, we'll find ourselves to be the great life of the universe and more. Okay, so our objective is the helping of the great ones and the rendering to them of that intelligent assistance which will make their plans for humanity materialize. Through us, they, the great ones, choose to work for the uplift of the world. See, DK is somehow really identifying himself here with the world servers. And through the esoteric groups, there must be the putting forth of that intensified spiritual effort which will stem the tide of evil and avert the possible difficulties that lurk. You know, look at those kind of cave-like words that lurk in the darkness of the present chaos. The living organism of aspirants and disciples can provide a center of peace, power, and love, of practical help and spiritual uplift such as the world has not hitherto seen. And then, you know, this is very direct. Such is the hope, as see you to it. There is a command. And, you know, if we are awake to the command, we will follow this command. of course, DK would say, you know, we don't force our disciples to do anything. And yet, see you to it is pretty declarative, isn't it? So we have to stand as focal points of love. And, well, that's not easy. In the, at the center of all love I stand, and from that center I, the soul, will outward move. From that center I, the one who serves, will work. Let the love of the divine self be shed abroad in my heart, through my group, and throughout the world. Not easy, though, because so much in the old Adam, so much in the original man, so much in the animal nature, under Mars, rebels against this aspect of Venus, which delivers to us the consciousness of being in the center of all love. So we want to render to the great ones our fullest possible cooperation. And that it is possible at this time as never before. As never before. If we could just grasp that, what an opportunity lies before us. It's easy to get overwhelmed in the difficulties to which we are subject, and not to live up to our highest potentials. But DK calls us through a vision of the hierarchy's hope toward what we are supposed to do. After all, this little section began, "What can I do?" And then he kind of puts the hammer to the nail and says, "See you to it. Do it, you know, do it." It's quite an impulsion. So let's see where we started here, you know, just to get the sense of things. What can we do? What can we do? And I'm just going to make this bigger, you know. What can we do? And we can teach the law of evolution. We must live harmoniously and in love. And we must stand for unity. And with those who work, even in a very different way than we work, though, with positivity. We must stand as focal points of love. And we are servers. We want to help the great ones. They hold the secret of the divine plan, maybe not in its entirety, the way Sanat Kumara has formulated it in Shambhala, maybe not even to the extent that the great custodians of the plan in hierarchy have that plan, but the masters know what's going on and we want to help them. All right, definite work must also be done in healing, in exorcising, driving out the demons, they are there, in curing mental and astral diseases. We normally don't think in those terms, but there are psychological diseases, and they can become very severe when the imagination is let loose upon terribly disgusting subjects, distorted, horrible fantasies. And it must be demonstrated to the world that the ancient power to heal still lies in the hands of those who consistently follow the Christ. So definite work on healing, and the devas will be helping with that. I think we hear about a green deva and a violet deva. Is it also that works with certain physicians? We know that Master DK is intending to be one of the externalizing masters and will assist in teaching the ancient methods of healing. Exorcism, though, is interesting, and Master Mori was very concerned about the epidemic of obsession, which was occurring after the World War I, and through the 1920s and early 30s. The war went underground, but the maleficent occult powers were seizing hold of vulnerable people, and especially Germany with its first ray Piscean personality. Piscean personality made them vulnerable, and first ray made them feel invincible. So many of us, we still have the power of healing, and it is buried within us. I once commented to my old teacher about the electric charge of an electric eel. It always intrigued me how electricity could be running through this aquatic animal. And he says, well, if you look at an eel like that with its electricity, how much more of that same charge does a man have? And it was something that woke me up. I haven't thought of it for decades until this moment. But we human beings, we do carry a charge if we know how to use it, to release it. Those who use this power, the healing power, only for the sake of the little ones, taking and seeking no personal reward, can manifest the ancient way to heal, which has small resemblance to modern methods of the mental schools. Well, you know, you always read about healers that have this wonderful reputation, and then you go a little deeper and you find out that they've been somehow taking advantage of their clients in financially, sexually, etc. It's always a letdown, you know, to see, well, people are so often just human regardless of what their reputation might be. Preparation, too, must be given to the developing of the higher psychic powers, you know, especially released around the third initiation, and through the trained expression of those powers can proof be given to the scientists of the world of the latent forces in man, which can be utilized by those who wisely and sanely, because you can do this fanatically and insanely, those who wisely and sanely follow in the footsteps of the Christ, the greatest psychic of all time, at least on our planet. Hospitals and schools will appear under the direct guidance of the masters. Teachers who can heal will come forth, and others will appear who will train the minds of the pupils to be responsive to direct inspiration from above. The faculty of the intuition must be developed scientifically, and that will be, you know, especially with the beginning of the sixth root race, as I have it, some 2,000 years ahead. Right now, well, maybe more. Right now, but I think then in 5 sub 6, when 5 sub 6 is elapsed, or even during it, there will be the beginning of the sixth root race, the intuitive root race. We still have 5 sub 7 to deal with, but South America, Brazil, and so forth will be extremely important at that time. You know, and one of the planetary centers. Probably there will be six planetary centers at that time will be emerging, six and then eventually seven planetary centers. So all of these highly trained people and gifted people will be appearing. Meanwhile, the next 2,000 years will be given to the cultivation of the abstract mind, you know, during the 5-6 period. DK differentiates between the true intuition and the abstract mind, and maybe we have to wait until the sixth root race before the intuition is a faculty under very strenuous development with very positive results coming from that attention given. But, you know, think about the healing. Hospitals and schools will appear under the direct guidance of the masters. Well, the schools we expect, and that's interesting. This is the first time I thought about hospitals. You know, I've been to the hospital lately, and everyone does their best, but it's not the same as the techniques that we will have using sound and color and other modalities to bring about the necessary adjustments as karma allows. So the higher psychic powers, more associated with the Ajna center, really, than with the solar plexus, will be emerging. And we will have to learn how to wield these. They pertain more to the higher mental plane, less to the concrete aspects of our planetary logos, less to his personality, you see. Finally what? I mean, all these things will be emerging in terms of what we can do, what we teach, how we express harmony and love, how we stand, how we unify. All these are pretty much just words until we really make them count, and then it's an entirely different life. And of course, the healing with the hand, there's a really important word there, because the hands are that part of our instrument which are particularly involved in doing good and doing evil. Maybe there's a lot of difference between dropping a bomb unnecessarily and conducting the healing energy to someone in need. The hands are the instruments of the mind and brain, and they carry out what is the intention. Christ in the desert with this certain Russell M, who looks a lot like Master Moria, said, by human hands and human feet will the new age be built. You know, such a one as the Christ would not take away from humanity the privilege of building the new age with the minimum amount of assistance. The less the assistance, the stronger the disciple becomes. And even a little child might say, you know, to his parent, no, me do it, you know, like that. When the parent is too quick to offer assistance. You know, and Master Moria tells us that to give all is to put on chains. So one has to be very careful about unwise giving, because it robs the one given to of the opportunity to develop the capacity himself or herself. Finally, church members and members of the Masonic fraternities, you know, the two particular groups through which initiation is sought, though also in the banded esoteric organisms, and maybe in a different way, initiation is sought and granted. And groups are presented to the initiator from all three, Masonry, the Church, and the banded esoteric organisms. So we can't leave them out of the picture. Finally, Church members and members of the Masonic fraternities must familiarize themselves with the inner significance of the various rites, ceremonies, colors, and rituals, and with the work performed upon the floor of the temple. As I said, you know, my experience out of normal masculine masonry, which I began 46 years ago, has been mostly with co-masonry and with the still newer AUM, Ancient Universal Mysteries, which is in a way a continuation of what Alice Bailey started or was under the Tibetan supervision, I think, back in the 1930s. There are methods by which occultism is taught in Masonic fraternities. I hit my head against the wall with masculine masonry as I tried to hold classes way back when on the occultism, but I found out that, you know, that was not the level at which the people were entering the Masonic fraternity. There were many, many reasons, but to arrive at occult truth was not predominant. It was even irritating to many. So anyway, we have to investigate the rites, ceremonies, colors, and rituals, and I can attest to the fact that in AUM, Ancient Universal Mysteries, that type of investigation is carried on. They must know why such and such things are done in due order, and you know, the seventh ray, the ray of everything done decently and in order. They must know why such things are done in due order. Probably has to do with the evolutionary process and the sequence of steps involved in it, and the reason for the various precedences, the words and gestures and acts. The seventh ray certainly does tend to follow precedent, and we even see this in our court system by the judiciary, which works on the upholding of the law. So, all of this is to be investigated in the New Age. All of this. And we will find that we're sitting on top of the mysteries, just like water bugs supporting themselves by the surface tension on top of water. We're not penetrating the depths, but at least we're walking on the surface. Should there be a real and true response to these practical suggestions, it may be possible for work to go forward more rapidly than at present seems possible. You know, humanity is always filled with surprises, and sometimes they seem guilty of retardation, and other times they lunge ahead faster than hierarchy has anticipated. A great example there, of course, is what happened in the fifth ray ashram and all those discoveries, so that kind of fifth ray ashram work had to be put into suspension. And an even more remarkable example is the discovery of the applicability of atomic energy almost an entire equinoctial age ahead of time. Supposed to be released in the age of Capricorn, but instead in the age of Aquarius, it has been released with all kinds of complications due to timing and the incapability of humanity to be morally fit to handle such an energy. Much trouble and stress may be averted if the aspirants of the world measure up to the proffered opportunity and make due sacrifice and effort. Well, Master Moria, when have you ever become less through sacrifice? You know, he has a way of pungently driving the point home, and it's the very first law of the soul, the law of sacrifice, and there's just no advancement in the unfolding of the higher aspects of the egoic lotus, namely the sacrifice petals and synthesis petals, unless sacrifice is part and parcel of one's spiritual approach. You know, it's like trying to get through the door of initiation all by oneself. When you grasp your brother's hand, even though it's an extended line, you make it through the door. And when you stood by yourself with sometimes grandiose and personal purposes, you just don't make it through the door. Much preliminary work has to be done. There must be much heavy work, plowing the soil and weeding out that which is undesirable. Well, we have a lot of work to do with the third ray personality of this particular planet. One of the things I found interesting, at least under the soul rays given by the Tibetan, that none of them has the third ray as the soul ray. Maybe once they did, and maybe they still do, but it's not given. But everything is rays 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And the third ray is, at least among the rays given, is left out. Plenty of third ray personalities, however. You know, India and maybe Greece and France and, you know, I'm forgetting them all, but they are there and they do exist, and they can be quite manipulative and obstructive. Now, all this stuff that is supposed to happen, the plowing of the soil and the weeding of what is undesirable, the possible moving ahead with rapidity, and the sacrifice and effort, he says something interesting here. You know, and remember, this is all kind of written 75 years ago. He says, this may take 7 years. Well, you know, from what he is expecting here, it almost seems like it has to take a lot longer, and maybe it has. I mean, we have not today, even today, fulfilled what Master DK hoped would be possible for humanity. So this may take 7 years. Well, okay. The work to be done in that period will be silent educational work up till 1932, you know, when the new group of world servers was really emerging as a group for which notification was given. The work to be done in that period will be silent educational work and the diligent propaganda, and, you know, it's not a bad word, it means the propagation of ideas here, that the church and analogous organizations can do. So he's looking ahead of the 1930s. Remember, you know, here it was still hoped that the second phase of the Great War, they called World War I the Great War, that the second phase could be averted by a great good will emphasis. But it was not, and it turned out that, unfortunately, the disciples of the world were too weak. I guess there's no other way to say it, and did not take as seriously as they might the dire situation that they were in and about which they had no full realization. Classes must be held by the occultists of the world in which the teaching is stepped down to meet the need of the little ones. Well, that probably did happen, you know, even among Master DK's students, even among the first rate types who taught. I think so much about being a teacher depends on the monadic ray, ultimately. The director, the teacher, the manipulator. Those are the first three ways of characterizing the monadic rays. Ray one, director, ray two, teacher, and ray three, manipulator, or sometimes we might say creator. The broad platform upon which the church should stand should be proclaimed. And it, you know, there will be quite a bit of familiarity with the platform on which it has stand, but has stood, but an enrichment of and deepening of understanding will be offered along with the emphasis of the platform. So the platform will be reinterpreted, but not abrogated. The broad platform upon which the church should stand should be proclaimed, and instruction should be given in the meaning of its ceremonies and teachings. And here came, you know, Bishop Leadbeater and of the Liberal Catholic Church and his science of the sacraments. So he did a lot of work along that line to show the hidden side of the outer rituals, because he could see, you know, he saw what was really happening behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, it's quite a phrase, and the scenes are the sort of obvious perception that we all normally have, but there are causative elements behind these normal perceptions of which the majority is unaware. Then will follow 7 years of germination of the seed sown. So basically 1932 to 1939. Well, by that time, things had gone south, as it were. A period of growth and developing influence. Well, that would have been ideal, but it turned out that the Black Lodge was very strong. A lot stronger than disciples anticipated, even when they were begged to do more than they seemed capable of doing. And this brings us to the period of 13 years from now, which really was the beginning of the Second World War, and certainly not anticipated here or discussed. This brings us to the period of 13 years from now, for the cycle of 14 began the year before I proffered you the suggestion, maybe 1931. Should the work progress as desired, it may mark the time of the near appearing of the great Lord and the close sound of his feet. Well, as I said, you know, in this book and also in Initiation Human and Solar, there were the hints given that the hierarchy first and then the great Lord, the Christ, would appear before the end of the 20th century. And, you know, there's obviously humanity did not measure up, but the release of atomic energy did give us an entirely new equation and a much greater danger of the annihilation of the human race. Okay, the servers, capital S, so they are the initiates and masters, who serve on the inner side. The disciples and initiates engaged in this work watch with loving care all who struggle in the thick of the fray. Now we have to remember the World War II is still on when this is written, but the fray is a psychological thing. You know, things were much worse regarding the war when we considered the astral plane. There was a much heavier fight going on. And we might wonder how that could possibly be, but we have Master DK's assurance that psychologically and on the inner planes, the subtle worlds, Things were much worse. I can't even maybe speak of what it was like on the mental plane. Right now, we have a mental battle raging, and all kinds of old retrogressive ideas are rising again and claiming allegiance. And people in their millions are giving allegiance to the personality values, which will certainly not be progressive for humanity. As a matter of fact, it's shocking. It's shocking to see. Okay. Whoa, how did that happen? This is no good. I've made everything so dark that, that's minus. And this is plus. Plus and minus. Okay, so anyway, these servers who watch on the inner side, because in the new group of world servers are relatively high initiates, maybe all the way up to the fourth degree. By the time one is a master, membership is no longer necessary. They are like the headquarters staff who follow the battle from a secure eminence, and in their security lies your ultimate success, for they hold in their hands the solution of many problems and apply the solution when the battle goes contrary. You know, I'm recalling a great battle in the Bible where Moses, looking towards the so-called promised land, held up his arms, you know, in this manner. And, you know, he could only keep that up for so long. And when his arms grew tired, too tired, he had to lower them. It struck me, you know, even when I read about it when I was a boy. And then his forces began to lose. I'm not talking about whether it was right or not to conquer the promised land. It was an act of aggression, according to DK. But I'm just talking about the occult fact. And then the other generals and directors around Moses held up his hands for him because he could no longer support. And then his troops began to win. So in the success, in their security of these watching forces lies our ultimate success, for they hold in their hands the solution to many problems and apply the solution when the battle goes contrary. Well, the battle is on, and we must be ever so vigilant concerning it and not look away from how things are developing. One thing always I appeal to you to remember, for it is of vital importance. It is a fact that the destruction of the form, in the destruction of the form, lies hid the secret of all evolutionary growth. Well, it's a hard saying. This is not a truism. You can see it in constant expression. The masters utilize the form, a form of church organization, a Masonic fraternity, an esoteric group, as much as may be. They seek to work through it, imprisoning the life within the containing walls for just as long as the purpose is served and the race is instructed through that form. So forms are, you know, expendable. Then comes the time when the form may no longer serve the intent, when the structure atrophies, crystallizes, and becomes vulnerable and easily destroyed. So it goes, and a new form takes its place. new form takes its place. Okay. So if we adhere overly much to any particular form, we are in for bitter disappointment and, for grief through our attachment. But it's easier said than done, of course. Watch and see if this is not so. In the infancy of the race, the forms for long endured. Well, in a way, even though there is a symbolic meaning to what I'm going to say, and Philip Lindsay can back this up in his Hidden History of Humanity, Methuselah lived 900 years. Well, it's a symbolic measure, and Methuselah was maybe one of the great Manus. Philip knows more about that, but let's just say that the 900 years is a symbolic term, but it's a big number. Especially, they were huge forms in those days, but Methuselah is more like a type of civilization or culture. And 900 years is a certain number of years, not 900 specifically, but probably much longer. Anyway, watch and see if this is not ever so. So you had these great tabernacles of clay, these huge forms, these gigantic forms. In the infancy of the race, the forms for long endured. Evolution moved more slowly. Does this mean we're all going to look like Yoda pretty soon? Well, he's pretty good with his lightsaber, isn't he? But now on this upward trend, the form has but short duration. It lives vitally for but a brief period. With rapidity, it moves through its cycle, and by comparison, anyway. With rapidity, it disintegrates and is succeeded by another. The rapidity will increase and not decrease as consciousness or inner expanding realized life of the race vibrates to a more rapid rate of rhythm. I think it's very interesting that DK has told us somewhere that in the future incarnations will be shorter rather than longer. We go through all kinds of gyrations and cryogenics, and we want to freeze our one and only body so that when a cure for our disease is found, we can re-inhabit that body, or the body can become animated and wake up, But if we had an idea of what reincarnation was and what the inner man was, we would never seek to confine the true inner man to a very vulnerable and limited outer form. So in the future, people will enter, they have their purpose, they'll fulfill it as rapidly and as well as possible. And then they will deliberately leave the form behind. We might say, deliberately die. And we have to get used to that idea of dying, I suppose when you get a little bit of a possibility of going out on the astral plane at will, as was maybe the case for many in Atlantean times, you just kind of realize that there's a continuity between the form and leaving the form and returning to the form. And as one begins to investigate the subtle bodies, then there is much less fear of death, maybe the eradication of the fear of death. Nastu Decay rather promises this. Look, if my picture is a little bit too dark here, I just want to say there's nothing I can do about it. So anyway, I just try to stay with you and, be present. Okay, this will be tremendously increased during the vital and unusual cycle which we entered in 1918. That was the armistice, wasn't it? Which will be tremendously speeded up in 1925, which is the year of the great 20th century conclave, and the year in which the ashrams on the higher mental plane, many of them were moved to the Buddhic plane, you know, whatever particular level on the Buddhic plane is not so much specified, but there are some specifications in, I think page 39 of Letters on Occult Meditation. I'll just kind of check that. I'm not going to change what you see here in front of you. I'm just going to check this out and make sure that I know what I'm talking about here. So it's, I'll say page 39. Yeah, it is. And the third subplane of the Buddhic plane, 28 groups. The first subplane of the Buddhic plane, 21 groups. Now, these are groups of souls. And I suppose by the time we reach the Buddhic plane, it becomes very important that these be triadal groups, because we cannot move a... So go to page 38, 39 in Letters in Occult Meditation. We cannot move causal bodies per se to the Buddhic plane. They belong on a lower level altogether. So the rapidity of the cycles increases following the armistice, and again increases following the year 1925. Cosmic Fire came out in that year. It had, I suppose, you know, there had been a lot of writing on it from the publication of Initiation Human and Solar. So interesting, a book meant for the general public, followed by a big thick book with over 1,200 pages, meant really only for initiates. And DK, of course, had wise design in this. He could arrest the interest of those who needed an exposition, a practical and simple enough exposition to understand through Initiation Human and Solar, and then a book which is in a way less difficult than Letters on Occult Meditation, and then comes the book that only initiates will truly understand. So it will be tremendously speeded up in 1925, and here we are just 5 years from the century. We're in 2020 now, and 2025 will bring a tremendous stimulation to the externalization of the hierarchy, and will climax in a peculiar sense in 1934. I'm not sure we know what that cycle is. By the time we reach 1936, there is a definite cycle, and I think it has something to do with the second ray. It was a year in which so much of the goodwill work was emphasized. Of course, in the next 3 years, it became obvious that it had not fulfilled its hoped for potential. You know, it is possible to fail. We can fail, you know, and we failed once in forestalling war, and we could fail again, and the consequences would be ever so much more dire. A great explosion would occur in this armed camp that we would have created, and it would be armed with nuclear weapons, and humanity could be forced back to develop itself all over again. And he tells us that it is a possibility that can be foreseen. Interesting, I think a friend pointed out to me that that particular introduction with its dire warnings first appeared in the preface of the problems of humanity, but then was removed. I don't know why, but you know, maybe it's just too much to deal with, or frightening to many. I don't know. We shall then enter upon 3 years of excessive endeavor up till 1937 in an effort to hasten the coming, second coming, and to prepare mankind for the great day of opportunity. You who know of these times can interpret them aright in the light of, and can interpret them aright in the light of the illumined intuition, must unite together for the rendering of the service, of service, and for the helping of the brotherhood in which the Christ is the divine leader, and of which the masters and initiates, disciples and aspirants are working and living, are the working and living organism on the physical plane. Well, all of that was foreseen, but by the time 1937 arrived, and even if you start with 25 and add 7 years and then seven more, it takes us to 1939, and that was the year that Germany, breaking free of the possible control of the forces of light, invaded Poland. And before long, Russia, and marched into Czechoslovakia, and went through the forest of Ardennes to conquer so much of what was France, and basically, even though fighting a two-front war, was capable of reducing the Allies, the United Nations, as DK sometimes calls them, to a state of defeat. I guess I just have to call it a state of defeat. Now, I was planning to go farther than this, but I think it's not a good idea, because we have here something about the externalization of the ashrams, which is its own subject. So this has taken us to page 519, and you know, I always go back and try to, so basically it's from 516 to 519. Okay. And I'll just, this is program 58. Approximately 1 hour and approximately, I don't know, maybe 7 minutes. And it's the 25th up to 516, 1 hour and approximately 7 minutes. And then we go to the next one, to number 59, 1 hour and X minutes, we don't know, and 516 to something. No, 519. And so this is 516 to 519. Okay. And I'm just going to make a guess that this will be today. All right, friends. You know, fascinating material given to us to put our present situation in context. We have the perspective of the Great War. We don't have the last 75 years as evaluated by the masters, and in this particular case, Master DK. And the Agni Yoga books also ceased being published somewhere around the same time. That the Bailey books could no longer be brought forward because Alice Bailey, as a stenographer, you know, she had passed on. And as the Tibetan says, I'm looking, speaking to the ambition of the average occultist, he says, I am looking for no new stenographers. choose me, you know. So anyway, we're on 519, and our work will be with program 59, and I'll try to continue that quite shortly before various meetings. And so this will be to stop the recording. So many blessings, lots of love. I'll stop the recording now.